Good morning, this is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunter and Chamber Radio. And today I'm very happy to welcome two amazing women who started Project Readiness. You can check it out at projectreadiness.org. And I'm here today with Jen Scarpati and Annie Peters. Welcome.
Thank you.
Closer to the microphone.
Great to be here.
Well, let's just start out with, if you want to start, Annie, just kind of talking about how Project Readiness came to be. It started in 2018, correct? And how you two met and found a need and just decided to take action.
Well, this is sort of collaborative.
Okay.
Project Readiness came out of, I think Jen and I both were very passionate about volunteer work and helping within our community. And I was looking for something local to sink my teeth into and get my kids involved and get working. And Jen had started doing the backpacks out of her living room, really. And we put our heads together and decided to make it more formal and just take it to the next level. And her time had freed up and I was looking for something, so we just put our energy together and out came Project Readiness. And we're
off and running.
Off and running, exactly.
Well, that's good. And, well, I also wanted to ask you about, a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to start my own nonprofit and it's going to be so great. And it's not as easy as it sounds, right? So, I mean, when you've got to be committed. But also, did you see, a lot of times, there's thousands and thousands of nonprofits out there, locally, globally, everything. But did you see a space or a crack that you wanted to fill and that's why you decided to put all the effort into starting your own?
Absolutely. And I think that's where, I mean, Jen had started it and she can go into that a little bit, just really out of her house. And it started small and then it grew. And we just could see together that there was a need right here in New Jersey that was unfulfilled. So we just decided that that would be the thing. Kids, education, they were things that were passionate to us that we wanted to throw ourselves into and that clearly were needed. And we do still, you know, sort of look at each other and say, we started a nonprofit with a big high five. You know, we kind of, it was a ton of work, but it's been awesome.
Good, so, good.
Yeah.
Well, Jen, how did the concept in your living room come about? What happened with that?
Sure. I used to work in Manhattan. And in Manhattan, I was at a law firm, and I was my law firm's contact for the Volunteers of America for their Operation Backpack project. And this was years ago. But what they do is, you know, they match the 55,000 children who are living in homeless shelters in the five boroughs with donors who then equip them with backpacks. And so it's kind of like that one-to-one match where you're shopping for a specific child. So then, you know, life took me to New Jersey, and I got involved volunteering for the Morristown Community Soup Kitchen, which is now Nourish NJ. And there was an open board seat, so I was asked to be on the board, and I said, you know, they said, you know, now that you're on the board, what do you want to work on? I said, do you guys have a school supply drive? And they said, we do, you know, but it's a mess. It's a mess. And there's a big dump of bulk school supplies, and then we kind of divvy them out to kids, but kids don't get a lot, or they don't get things that are age appropriate for them. And I said, you know, I did a little looking, and it turned out that there's nothing like Operation Backpack in New Jersey. Which is interesting. And I said, you know, do you mind if I tinker with your backpack drive? And they said, no, go ahead. And so the first year I just, you know, did it among friends and neighbors and matched up 69 kids. The next year someone said to me, you should really like put on Facebook what you're doing. So I did that. Like, hey, I'm doing this. If anyone wants to be matched with a student, and it exploded. And you know, so then we did 250. And then my house was full. And I said, you know, that was it. That was as much as I could do myself. And then kind of life converged. Professionally, I went from working at a corporation to working for myself. So I had time that freed up. And then Annie was doing a lot of work with a battered women's shelter in Brooklyn. And that kind of went into a temporary dormancy. And so we said, oh, you know, we could work together. And that's how Project Readiness was born.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, I mean, you just, I think you both, I've read a little bit about your bios, but volunteering has just been part of your life and your way of living for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, growing up, I'm the same way. Like, it was just part of our family value growing up, and now we want to share it with our own kids, right?
Yeah.
And so and especially with the backpack stuff, it's tangible and they can grab it and know what they're doing. And I ran for the Community Soup Kitchen in Morristown for Nourish. I ran my parish's soup kitchen day for about 5 years, and now I do one in Plainfield. So I know Terry Connolly. They're like great group, and they've been on the show. Not Terry, but Nancy. They've all been on the show. So.
Nancy Rogers, right?
Yeah. So it's definitely, and that's the whole reason behind this show is to tell people it really nourishes and enhances your life so much just to do something simple for someone else, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why. Why the show came to be, and I'm so happy that you guys exemplify all that. That's just why you're on. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be back.
Great.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provide sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We are on Facebook Live today. If you want to check that out, at Happy Hunterdon or Happy to Help, you can search it. And we're talking with the women founders of Project Readiness. The website is projectreadinessnj.org. If you want to check out what they're doing and all the pictures on their website. And so we're talking with Jen Scarpati and Annie Peters and the project they started with backpacks in the living room. And now you've already expanded to, you've only started in 2018, but you've already expanded to include counseling. And so kind of tell us about how come it's already growing, which is amazing.
Well, I think you left off at 250 in your living room. We doubled, almost 600 kids this past year.
Wow.
It was amazing. We actually found ourselves with more donors than we had children. So we were scrambling at the last minute to find, which there are plenty of, need.
Yeah.
But we did find ourselves calling and finding more kids, which was amazing. So we had so much support. And then do you want to talk about the FAFSA program that we're working on?
Yeah.
Okay.
So one day I was listening to NPR, like any good liberal, and they had an interview with a guidance counselor in Chicago who had the idea that in order to get a ticket to the prom, the students in her high school, the seniors, had to file a FAFSA. The federal aid application, and I believe they had an increase in college enrollment because the FAFSA, you know, it costs nothing to file it, and then you get a report saying what you're entitled to in terms of work study, federal grants, federal loans, et cetera. Like, you know, effectively, it could be free money.
Right. Well, anybody who's gone through the college application process with their children, it's like you file the FAFSA, right? Yeah. So
yeah. Yeah,
there are so many families who have no idea
right.
that FAFSA, the money is there.
So she, you know, in the interview I listened about how she like ran around after these students, like hunted them down. Like, you know, there was a program that if you inform on a friend that hasn't filed their FAFSA yet, you get like a gift certificate for ice cream or something like that. Yeah, it's just, and you couldn't go to prom without filing it. And so this was a really bold initiative. And so we said to ourselves, you know, there's all these things that exist elsewhere and yet don't exist here. But, you know, if you look at the data on the working poor, especially in Morris County, you know, there's a significant need. And it just takes, you know, we kind of steal ideas from elsewhere and kind of bring them in. Hey,
absolutely.
Yeah. And so we had the idea, what if we start a FAFSA counseling program in New Jersey, and we targeted Morristown High School first because we had a contact in that guidance department. So we were offering that service. We offered it last spring, and we offered it this past fall, and we haven't actually gotten any bites yet. So we're trying to figure out why that is. Apparently, in Morristown High School, there was a service that you could pay for. And so our friend's theory is that we kind of got outcompeted by that. You know, we're just kind of new, you know, and this is kind of, so we have to continue to think, like, should we offer it at other schools? Like, because we're kind of like at the ready. We have volunteer guidance counselors ready to meet with these kids. You know, we're ready to do this. The lady from Chicago actually spoke to us on the phone.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, that was amazing. And, and so basically that needs some tinkering, but you know, kind of the sky's the limit with that. Also, we would love to offer, you know, rejuvenate. There used to be a free tutoring service in Morris County that went defunct. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, a lot of people retire and leave New Jersey. And so I think that's kind of what happened to this really robust tutoring network. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is, you know, you brought up Nourish, and, you know, it's no secret that they're moving to a facility in Booton. And they're actually presenting at the Booton Town Meeting on February 18th, I think. But anyway, they're like, they're building this massive structure, and they're going to be right next to the high school.
Wow.
And so so we're in like very, very early talks with them about, you know, if there's like a space that we could rent from them in there so we have better proximity to kids as they're coming and going. And also it's very convenient to a train station. And so again, so you're kind of catching us like right on the ground floor.
Very cool.
So, but there's things in the works.
You've got a lot of good ideas, and we're persistent.
Nevertheless, she persisted, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's good. Well, when I had Nourish New Jersey on, that was one of the things we talked about. Is like part of the problem is navigating the system. There, you know, it's massive, and there's things available, but how do you start? How do you get there? How do you find what you need? Because Nourish New Jersey does an excellent job of that because they've got the job seeking and the food feeding and the cooking and all that stuff.
Place.
Yeah. So they've been around for what, 30 years or a long time. Yeah.
Easily.
So, yeah. So, so you've got the other thing I want to go back to is, isn't it very labor intensive or hard to match the backpack with the kid? Like that seems like it's a logistical nightmare, but I don't know.
I wouldn't say it's a nightmare. It's definitely another layer of work. But it's part of what I think makes Project Readiness unique. Part of what we really want is that personal experience for both the donor and the recipient. So when you go to Target or Walmart and you're shopping for, you know who you're shopping for. You know their age, you know their first name. It makes it feel very tangible, as you said. It's a great way to involve families. I think that's one of the reasons we got so much traction among our community is because it's a really easy way to get kids involved in a charity that they can relate to. And so, you know, the early donors were, you know, they can often say, I'd really like a 10-year-old girl, and we can usually accommodate that. Later on, it gets trickier as we get further down the line, but it does mean there is a lot more matchmaking, but we really want to keep that. We don't want it to be just a bunch of backpacks that all sort of look the same, that are generic, that are not age appropriate. We want, and for each recipient, it's empowering. It's knowing that someone went out, they shopped for you, they got a unique backpack, they have all the special things in there, not only what they need, but often people throw in, you know, extra erasers or notebooks or whatever little tchotchkes that they might think are cool and are special for that kid. And so I think for both parties, it makes it a little bit more unique and special. And so no matter how big we get, that's one of our missions, is to maintain that personal experience.
Yeah. Well, do you manage that with a database or a massive spreadsheet or how? I mean, I just...
Awesome at Excel.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I actually dream in Excel.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I write it all down and I have all these scratch notes, and then she puts it all into the...
My dad's an engineer. Yeah. And so I was kind of like born to love Excel. Yeah. So my whole life runs off Excel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, so we have massive databases of, you know, the kids and the donors and, you know, any special requests the donors have and, you know, when something comes in. And so it's a lot of word processing basically. Mm-hmm.
And we tag every bag, so when we receive them, we do have unique tags that are made with the child's name, their grade, their school, so that they're clear. So when they go to, we give them to the organization. Then they distribute accordingly. So, but they are really made for each child. Their name is on the bag. Often donors write notes, or kids draw pictures, so that when the children open them, they do also have that really special experience.
Right. Yeah. And do you get thank you notes on the back end from the recipients? Which I think is great. I've seen some pictures of that on your social media. So that's really, because I know people just do, they would love to make a connection. I mean, it's a very inclusive type. Yeah, no, I love that. And then have you been able to grow your, what do you need more of? Like, well, funding, obviously, but volunteers. And I mean, do you have a volunteer capture, or how do you get the word out, and how do people find you to help?
Well, we need funding.
That's a given.
We have some good photos of us last year sitting. We were able to get a very small office space and floor-to-ceiling backpacks, no joke. I mean, tagging them all the way up, and Jen sitting in a little corner, you know, doing the work. And we did realize we do need some more manpower, woman power, during the high season of some of that, because we do have the extra steps. We take it in, we check, we go through every backpack to make sure they do have 6 spiral notebooks and, you know, all the things that the kids need in case we need to fill in the gaps. Tagging them and then delivering them. So as the season comes in, as we grow, we will need that kind of help, whether that's in the version of just volunteers, high school kids. We were able to get some of that help last year.
Is our... I'm going to say here. So is the season primarily before school starts, or Christmas, or I mean the holidays, or what's the...
It's actually... Well, it's coming up. Our first big... donation time is as some pre-K kids graduate, so in June. So we try to get rolling in the late spring and then in through the summer before school starts.
And do you give them backpacks for the summer, or why is it June? I'm just curious.
Well, so that's all of Head Start.
Head Start.
Last year,
okay.
All the Head Start kids. So they are, you know, quote unquote, graduating from
the Head Start program.
And then they're off to all different kindergartens.
Right.
We have to give it to them before they're done at Head Start, because they'll be dispersed
the following
year. So yeah, so that's our first lot. And that was 240 kids?
Just about. February is when we really kick off, because we get that list of kids. And so we will probably have that first list of kids, because Head Start has those names at the ready. Right.
Okay.
And so we'll be assigning pretty soon, and then collecting names from our other feeder organizations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then as we're looking to grow, we'll be trying to find new partners and new organizations continue to expand.
Yeah. And then Family Promise is another one. Mm-hmm. And how does your partnership work with them?
Sort of the same. They provide us with a list of the families and the children and ages. And
is that more fall, or is that again February ramp up?
Well, we'll get as soon as they have that. I mean, when do we get that? Spring, I guess. That's spring. Really more of a summer
delivery.
So we delivered all of those in August.
Okay.
So that was our
You're busy.
Yeah.
But it takes a while to collect.
By Labor Day, we're
tired.
Of, we're tired.
I know. Yeah. I know. Everyone else is kicking back in the summer, and you guys are working hard. Yeah. Well, I mean, but the nice thing about that, too, is that because it's just, you know, it's notebooks and essentials, but you could get elementary kids to help count and sort, and it's so empowering for them, right? I mean, so that's what's really cool about it. It's not analyzing a spreadsheet. It's like six notebooks and a backpack. And,
totally. I mean, we had our kids doing that. We had a lot of help from various Girl Scout troops.
Oh, yeah. Girl Scouts
last year. Yep, it was great. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
We definitely need a check-in staff this year. We have to figure out we need a few things, like physical space. But, you know, looking back on troubleshooting last year, you know, instead of when backpacks come in, putting them in the corner for like a week until we like check them in bulk, we really need to be checking them in and checking their contents like on an ongoing basis so we can like, fill in, because we do the fill in. And so missing items and things like that.
So we're running back and forth to one.
Yeah. So you need a process, right? Yeah. Yep. So, which is good, but you don't know till you don't know, right?
Exactly. I mean,
until you
know. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's great. Do you have any little vignettes or stories that you want to share from like a volunteer you worked with or a kid that you helped or someone at Head Start or somebody that their star is so bright. Like, I love the stories of being in the trenches of the work that you're doing.
Well, let me think. So I'll start with the volunteers that we've met along the way. Tara Ryan at Nourish is, have you met her yet?
I don't think so. Is she new?
She is, no, she's been there a while.
Okay.
And she is just a spectacular human being. Just, you know, I wish I could like bottle her enthusiasm and walk around with it in my pocket. So, I mean, she just has boundless energy, and Manny also at Nourish, they, you know, all the kids that we service, that they give us the list, they know their knowledge of these kids and how to reach them and their family and their situations, just encyclopedic. They have balanced energy, balanced enthusiasm. And one of my favorite things to do is to work with that team and to know that there are people like that out there, you know, helping. There's just, again, there's so much need, right? Yeah. Right in New Jersey, in Morris County. And I view Tara and Manny as like on the front lines, working with the most vulnerable people.
Yeah, and I think that's a misnomer, because people think, you know, New Jersey is primarily the one percenters and blah, blah, blah. You've got Somerset County, Hunterdon County, and they don't realize. And I was talking to my friend, too, the other day, and I was talking about the need in Princeton, because I'm in Princeton a lot. It's like, everyone in Princeton lives in $1 million house and blah, blah, blah. Right. And so there's definitely a disconnect there with people. Like, there's people that in need everywhere,
Truthfully, and we're in Morris County. We live in Morris County. And we started it thinking, we'll do Morris County. By next year, we'll be moving out.
Yeah.
We started meeting with organizations, and we were like, we're going to be here for a few years. There's a ton of need. And it's the working poor. It's that survival budget versus
$69,000 a year is the survival budget, and there's so millions of people underneath.
It's sort of not the poverty line, it's the survival line, and there's this huge disconnect in places like this.
And these kids, like going to the students, they're juxtaposed in these schools with affluent students, so there's that stigma that attaches, you know, whereas in a school, for example, Operation Backpack works heavily in the Bronx, for example, where, you know, an entire class could be below the poverty line. You know, we have students, you know, we have students on our list from Mountain Lakes, from Booton, where effectively no child qualifies for free lunch at school. You know, maybe like 0.6% of the student. Yeah. And so you have this added burden of shame, right?
Right.
And so,
which is part of why the way we set it up, we do not want a kid walking into school with this generic, quote-unquote, handout backpack, which is like a bullseye.
Because then it's an identifier.
We want them to part of our mission is school supplies, but it's also reducing the stigma. It's giving them everything that they need, both emotionally and physical notebooks and everything, calculators, all the things that they need to be equipped, but also have to blend. And that was another story that Tara shared with us. So there was a girl who received a backpack, and it had cool erasers, whatever those are for, you know, sixth grade or, but she was able to go sit at the table with the cool girls, the girls that she wanted to be able to sit with because they had a conversation point. And so it goes beyond just school supplies. It's social. Yeah. And when you remember what kids are like, and when you throw them all into this mix, we've heard multiple stories like that, where it was more than just their basic needs that were being filled, but they were also being able to, you know, talk to the cute boy because they had, you know, the cool marker or whatever it was. So there's been, or the mom who opened the backpack and pulled out the scientific calculator and it blew her away. Yeah. Oh my, what an incredible help that was. And because that's a huge burden for a family who can't afford it.
Yeah, so. Because kids can be mean because kids are kids, right?
And they're all
trying to figure life out. Yeah. And so they're gonna do whatever makes them feel most comfortable at any time. Totally. So,
that's, and if this is a little boost and it has an equalizer, then that's amazing.
That's
and
big.
It, you know, takes the stress out of learning, which is what we want.
And so we have certain non-negotiable items that that we discovered this past year. Like, you know, because in the beginning we were saying yes to everything, you know, accepting everything. And then, you know, as we were going on, we realized, you know, we're not going to accept anything used. You know, we're not going to accept bags with corporate logos. You know, you know, these have to be individual, like the kids who are going to use them. And everything has to be new, just like these donors would buy for their own children, you know, at the beginning of the school year. And that's kind of the point of it.
Right, and I mean, and it's easy to go to Target for a lot of people and get that new. It's not out of your way. It's not, you know, you're not buying a $150 pair of tennis shoes. It's doable. It's doable for most people.
You're already doing it. We give a very clear shopping list.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
yeah. And we did, going back just for a second, just to give a plug.
We had
some corporate partners this year that through our community who were phenomenal. And so when you talk about Tara and Manny's Energy, I also, like, we had a few companies that we worked with, which I'll plug in a second, who their gifts, it makes you realize how much people want to give. Mm-hmm. All of our donors are so generous, but some of these companies set up competitions so that they, you know, the winners would get a pizza party or something, and it showed there was just so much people want to get involved and they want to help and they had fun with it because this was something they were all getting together and they were shopping for and they were competing with their team and companies like GAF and Celgene and Colgate. And
Ferrero did an amazing job on our holiday drive.
Yeah.
Colgate's Women's Network was amazing. My favorite corporate vignette comes from GAF. Their communications department did a backpack, and then every member of had a type letter on GAF letterhead, like, to the student saying, best of luck this year. It's like a 10-year-old kid. Like, best of luck this year. We're all pulling for
you. Everyone signed.
And then they all signed it.
It was so cool.
And, like,
so cool.
You know, think about the message that sends to that child. This isn't just a handout. People actually care about what you do with these supplies. They're investing in that child's future. They're interested in that child's academic achievement.
Yeah.
It sends a message.
I know that people are paying attention to me. People are thinking about me. Yeah. People know about me. And they see me, you know, like, you know, you don't feel like you're just another number in the void, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's so amazing. I love all that you guys are doing. So you did you said the counseling you're looking at, the school supply drive, mm-hmm. and the FAFSA assistant. I'm very involved in global education through Room to Read. So they've sent 20 million children through school. So education is very, it's because someone said to me the other night, they're like, well, you know, when you're given to these organizations, how do you know that it's the right thing or it's not, you know, being wasted or whatever? And I was like, well, education, it's not a commodity. It's once it's in you, it can't be taken out of you.
Right.
So if you're facilitating education, that's a lifelong gift, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and somebody mentioned that a wise person said, no one can ever take away someone's education. So was that, okay. So who was that wise person? I was like,
actually, you know, that was, it was actually my best friend in college, Christina, and I think it was something her dad said to her, that they can take everything away from you, but they can never take your education. And I'm sure, you know, this was, you know, college students exchanging deep thoughts, you know, but it really it really stayed with me. And that's right. And what you just said really resonated with me. It's not a commodity, right? It's not like a chaff of wheat.
Uh-huh.
It's something, you know, it's an indelible thing.
Yeah. And I always say, you know, literacy is a lifeline. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once you've got, you know, you have to have access to books and things, but once you know how to read, you can devour, you know, any kind of knowledge that you want. You're not limited by what people tell you. You can go and seek things out for yourself. So I think, you know, education is empowerment. And then also we talk about, and you've said this on your website, it breaks the cycle, right? Yes. Because if you don't know what education can do and why it's important, then it's not important. I mean, it's not on your radar. But right. Once you start seeing the things that can come with an education, then it makes sense, right? Yeah. Higher wages and more connections and more opportunity. And yeah. The other thing you mentioned a few minutes ago was you said $69,000 is the poverty line, the survival rate.
Exactly. It's approximately three times higher than the poverty line, approximately.
So that's just the survival rate, like to be able – and is that unique for New Jersey or – okay. Yeah. Because there's the figure out there that's kind of a general figure, but they say for most people $75,000 income per year is basically all you need to truly be – happy.
Like, I saw that.
So, I mean, you can be Bill Gates, but is Bill Gates like phenomenally happier than like Joe Blow? No. You know, so it's not that far. I mean, yes, you have to get like survival and happiness are, you know, once you get to your basic needs like food, shelter, and you're not worrying about every little dime, you know, yeah. But I always try and bring that up that $75,000 is all you need to be truly happy. I mean, anything else is just not exponentially happier, because happiness comes from within and happiness comes through helping others, right? Yep. As you guys can attest to.
Yep.
Have your kids had any revelations through the work you've done or they've done?
Our kids are cool. Okay, yeah. We are both boy moms. Yep. We have five between us. They have their moments.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I mean, I think our kids have all gotten involved, both with this, but they also do other things. My guys have had birthday parties where instead of gifts, so the shelter where we used to work, when I have twins, so they were having all their friends. And when we did the math about what the gifts, how many that would actually be, I left it up to them. I think of something that means something to you. And they came back to, what about all those kids at the shelter that we meet, Mom? So we actually built a playroom. And all, instead of gifts, all their friends brought books and new toys and everything. And we put in shelves. They stacked the shelves. They gave it to the kids. They loved it.
Nice.
So they're starting to understand that joy of giving. And, I mean, of course, could we do that every other year? So they, you know, they're
still no, kids.
Yeah, which
kids.
Is great. Yeah. They're kids. No. And this year, for one of mine, we just stuffed homeless bags and delivered those to Nourish for some of the population in Morristown with joy. He loved it. And so I think, if nothing else, they're learning the spirit of giving, at least mine, and understanding, you know, the sharing what we have and making it work that way, and asking the questions and being curious and why are people homeless, Mom? You know, that's a really good question, and one that, you know, you shouldn't have to ask, because which shouldn't be a problem, but it is. So how can we work on that? And so, yeah, I think our kids, and then we do get them involved with, you know, stuffing backpacks and tagging and all the other things. So they're very much a part of it. And your kids have done much the same, collecting books and.
Yeah, my little one, it's basically a win for me that I've convinced him that the backpacks are something he can't touch, that they're for other people. So that's that. And then my older one, you know, you really like they just grow up with so much, and it's so hard to illustrate to them how much we really have. And so, yeah, and but birthdays, like Annie said, are a great time to do it. So, I'm also like a huge animal person, and so I said, you want to do a drive for you know, a pet shelter, like instead of gifts, everyone can bring like a box of like milk bones or something. And he was like, nah. He's like, can we do a book drive? I'm like, oh,
yay.
Okay. And so his birthday, we collected around 70 books. And that's how I met Head Start, because I had to call around to find a place that would accept 70 books. And that's how we first connected with them. I met them when I brought my, my son to bring all these books. So I've learned that, you know, but at the same time, you know, one time my son was kind of standing in the midst of all these backpacks in the living room, each one of which is going to a child who barely has money for groceries, and he was complaining to me that we were going to Hershey Park for only three nights and not four. Right? And I was like, oh my God, you know, this is a process, and we gotta, you know, it's a process, and we have a ways to go. And so I think, I mean, the only thing we can do is try to instill it as early as possible. I mean, I think at the end of the day, speaking for myself, that's a huge part of the reason that I'm doing this, is to try to set this example, set this tradition of community service for them. Because mm-hmm. I think it's just that important.
It's just part of who we are. And it's part of how we are as a family. And so it's just something that they're growing up with, which is hopefully going to serve them in the long run, and they will continue it.
Yeah, and it's exposure, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you got to do exposure. Like, that's why I just tell people, you know, it's because some people, there's the big debate on through high school. Like, some high schools mandate that you do so many hours of community service, right. and other people are like, this is a waste of time. And I said, even if they don't, you know, become Mother Teresa or get, you know, fully engaged, they're exposed to it. And then maybe later they'll be exposed to that. And volunteering takes so many forms. There's so many opportunities. So you have to find what jives with you and what you're interested in.
And I think, I mean, my kids and I, we talk a lot. It's the power of lift. It's sort of that Melinda Gates.
But the moment of lift,
The moment of lift. It's that learning that when you share or you do something for someone else, how it lifts you too at the same time. And I think it's that we can do it subtly just through our actions, but they are... You can see that moment that happens with them. And so if they just grow up that way, then hopefully they will carry that in, whether it's little or big. I mean, they don't have to be Mother Teresa.
Yeah, exactly.
Learning just in general about kindness. And in this world, if nothing else, like, can we just be kind?
Right. And I'm a mean mom. Like, I would tell my... my daughter, I was like, you're going to the soup kitchen with me. No, I'm not. She's like, you know, fist pounding on the bed and whatever. And then we get there and she's just like, you know, I'm fully aware that they, you know, it's not like everyone's like got a big smile on their face and, let me help the world. And, you know, they're kids and they're like, I'd rather be with my friends. I'd rather go to a movie. But, you know, and it comes in small doses and they're all different. You know, mm-hmm. it's funny to watch, but hopefully something sinks in somewhere.
Totally.
Because I started out as a candy striper at the hospital with my grandma I don't even know if they have anymore and now it's harder too because with all the litigation you know you have to be this age and you have to sign a release and you have so this is something tangible and simple and doable for the young kids and the families.
Well, and I searched high and low through New Jersey to find opportunities that could get my kids, and basically everything, you have to be 12 and up and our kids are little, so this was a great way, and then within our community that we can get kids, young elementary age kids, doing something for others. And we've gotten a lot of traction because of that, because it's very hard to find volunteer opportunities for young kids.
Yes, and one, we mentioned Chicago earlier. There's one that I always follow. It's called the honeycombproject.org in Chicago, and they are massive, and it's all family-oriented. Oh, cool. So if you want to steal more ideas, check them out.
That's our bread and butter.
I love it. Well, what did they say? The greatest form of flattery is...
imitation.
Yes, exactly.
That's right.
So thank you. All right, well, we are going to take another quick break, and then we'll be back.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys.
This is really topical. And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. We're on Facebook Live today if you want to check us out at Happy Hunterdon. And we're talking with Jen and Annie, who are the founders of Project Readiness. You can find them at projectreadinessnj.org, and they're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all that good stuff. And they provide backpacks, school supplies to children who just want to fit in at school and have the resources they need. So they're doing amazing work. And we were talking about a couple things on the break on ways that people can get involved or donate or help. So tell us what your, you know, how people have been most fulfilled or how they can donate anyway.
Well, if you check out our website, there is a page that outlines that. So there's numerous ways to do that. Obviously, there's just a clear donation, which goes directly into buying supplies and backpacks. Or there is a place and you can submit a request for a child, and we will do a pairing for, and you can specify often gender, age, grade, and we can make that partnership happen with a shopping list and everything else. So if you want to do it that way, that's a great way to get involved. Mm-hmm.
And those are also, those forms are open all the time, every day. Like just, you know, submit, just go on there and submit.
Request. Yep. Okay. We will get you in our database, and we will, it's the two of us. We will email you.
One of us will guarantee that one of us will email you.
That's great. Okay.
And then we were talking, we have some other things coming up. So there's going to be a color run through the Sparta High School on June 13th, which is going to be a fundraiser. The kids there have chosen us as a charity to raise money for. So you can check that out. June 13th.
That was some great news.
Well, the word is getting out, and it's going to get out more.
A little goes a long way. So every little bit that we can raise helps, and we can put that towards the supplies for the kids.
Yeah, and then Mountain Lakes High School right now is considering doing kind of a competition thing where each homeroom sponsors a backpack for a high schooler. That would be amazing. And so all initiatives like this help us. Like, there's almost no donation too small, or like no event too small that can help us, because we're still, you know, we're still that compact. We just started applying for grants. We're just starting to put feelers out into different sources of funding. And we did get nominated for the somebody tried to nominate us for the Impact New Jersey 100.
Oh,
but we're actually too new. You actually have to have...
The president was on the show like a couple months ago. Merle Johnson. Yeah, she was on the show.
Yeah, you have to be incorporated for 3 years. And we've been doing this work for 3 years, but we just incorporated February of 2019. So we're definitely established enough that we need the funds, but we're too new to qualify for a lot of the funds. So it's like we're kind of in that nether region now.
So happy birthday, right? So
you should be
marketing that. This is our birthday. Give us a birthday gift. Give us a donation.
What a great idea.
And we did nearly 600 kids last year. We'd like to double that this year.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I mean, so you've got a goal.
So we have a goal.
Tell them about what Justin said.
My husband who said, well, don't you think you should just do the same amount and just master it? Just get everything right. And we were like,
no.
Right. Well, so what are you supposed to tell those other kids? Sorry, we're on a different, plan.
And we're a good partnership. And as we always say, we sort of write the plane as it's going. Now we figure it out. And we had our hiccups, but that's the first year. But we put backpacks in the hands of almost 600 kids successfully, even if it meant a few sleepless nights, and we'll do it again, but hopefully with 1,200 kids.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, and that's another lesson that kids need to learn. They're saying today, you just got to figure it out. Everything's not going to be, identified for you, laid out for you. This is the plan. Just execute it, and you're good to go. No, there's going to be ups and downs and wrenches thrown into the plan, and so.
We had a couple calls Labor Day weekend. School was starting Tuesday. Yeah. And we got a few people reached out and said, I know a mom, she's single, health problems, kids can't. We were on it. We got it. We figured it out, and we dropped off the backpacks, and you know, so we did. We react, and we and because of some of the donations and funds that we had, we were able to quickly supply those families with what they needed to, which was awesome.
So, my husband will be so mad if I don't give him a shout out. Okay. Andrew, thank you for driving the backpack on Labor Day to the needy family. That was heroic. He like left a barbecue.
Aww.
To get that done. Now,
and didn't he feel good about it after?
Yeah. He's like a classic misanthrope. Like he's very crusty on the outside, but he has like that warm interior.
No.
So you know, so he has to kind of complain about it, but you know, like he's got that heart of gold. So, but if I did this and didn't give him that shout out, it would have been bad.
Yeah, the husband's right. We appreciate the husband. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so when I was doing the soup kitchen team at Morristown, right, and he would bring people in from work if I was low or whatever because he works in Florham Park, and then the one day they did a corporate day where his whole mm-hmm. team went to do, and he's like, "I'm not telling anyone I know you, and I'm not." And I'm like, "Whatever." And so then, literally halfway through, he's like, "Maurice says hello." Like, okay.
It's so weird that our three husbands have the same voice.
Right?
Isn't that weird? Yeah.
We're just all kindred spirits. That's all. Yeah. No, that's incredible. I think, well, the other thing I want to ask is, so you're dedicated and you're moms and you've had these careers and stuff. So let's just take a step back. And so people are like, you know, how do these women do it? They're, you know, I'm exhausted just like getting through day to day. But what I always say, the volunteering invigorates me, right? It's a secret energy source.
It's
right?
A labor of love. Yeah. I mean, we're tired. We do it at odd hours. We make it work, and yet it is invigorating. Totally. Yes. So it's a good addition.
Yeah. Well, and flexibility is key, right? That's what. Huge, right?
I wouldn't have been able to, you know. So I was at a corporation, and they downsized, and I got laid off. Dude, let me see. It's gonna be 2 years on July 12th, and it was a great day because, you know, I was like, you know what, I can finally take this leap, kind of work for myself. And then my second thought was, I can finally focus on this nonprofit, because I just had this nagging, you know, midlife thing. Like, you know, you have this nagging feeling that nothing you're going to do is going to survive you, you know? And my dream for Project Readiness is that when we're long gone, someone else is going to be sitting here talking about Project Readiness. And that is, you know, this could be like a real legacy. And that, I mean, if that doesn't invigorate, nothing will. And so that kind of like makes us like, you know, stay up late and like get up early and, you know, like hump these bags.
You get one thank you note from one of the kids. And
melts,
it's like, that's all it takes, you know?
Well, I tell people, because I love to read the obituaries in the Burnsville News, and these people are all, you know, 90 or whatever, and it always talks about their volunteer efforts. Mm-hmm. You live your legacy now, because, you know, I mean, you can think about your obituary, but you're going to miss out. I mean, you can do this your whole life. It's one thing you can do from soup to nuts or the cradle to grave. You can volunteer in some way, shape, or form, right? So you guys are living it and doing it.
We're squeezing it in between hockey practice and soccer.
Busy lives. Well, and then I know there's a lot of people, and I've got kids on both sides of the spectrum, but they in age wise, but there's a lot of moms who, once their kids graduate, they're like, "What am I going to do now?"
Yep.
But I'm like, volunteer. There's like 10,000 opportunities. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then you're collaborating with people, you're meeting people inside your comfort zone, outside your comfort zone, and getting an eye opener of what's going on in your own community.
Yeah.
And I like to tell people, you know, there's a career day at the high school, and, you know, we're going to work the nonprofit table, and, you know, and the message I like to give to the students is, you can work nonprofit and do other things, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm a lawyer. Annie's a stylist. We also do this. So you really can do more than one thing and do these things well at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I always tell people, I'm like, just give it 1 hour a month. That's all you have to start with, 1 hour. You can donate 1 hour, whether it's just going to an event or researching something that might, you know, start with 1 hour. That is, anybody can do that. Like, really, you know? So I just say and reach out to your friends or ask them about why they do it, how they got involved. So did you all meet through preschool or how did, or just neighbors or what?
I guess, yeah. Our kids, and we, our older boys are all in the same grade.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so was it easy to come up with the name Project Readiness, or was it an aha moment, or how did
No. No, we went to Head Start and had like a little focus group.
That's right.
With the kids, and you know, we had them draw pictures on like a big white roll of paper of like, you know, you dumped out a bunch of like brand new school supplies. Like, how does it make you feel to look at these? And one of the kids says, "It makes me feel ready." And that was
a focus group of 4-year-olds. Literally, yeah. It was fabulous. Yeah. It was so cute.
Oh,
but that's what we walked away with, was like, how do we incorporate ready into this? And
yes.
That's what it's all about.
I love that. And the logo is so cute. And
I mean, but you have some great women and friends in our community who are highly creative and able to help us with all of that.
Yeah.
Quick shout out. Yeah, Jenny Kite helped us with just PR, just learning how to do PR for ourselves. And Angela Sai did our logo and taught us how to use social media. Because I was like, Instagram, what do you mean I can't use it on my laptop?
I get a tutorial from my daughter. I'm like, how do you do this again? Yeah. Like, she's like, oh. But that's another thing you could do is if you've got some connections with the high schools, it's so empowering to have a middle school or high school kid be your take over your Instagram for a month or whatever, because that's all they love to do.
Right.
So it's not that it's like, you know, and then you don't have to figure out, okay, what's a hashtag do I use?
Yeah.
And, you know, because they live in that zone, right? Yeah. And then it gets the word out. So that's another way to get the word out. What was the hardest part about starting this nonprofit that you didn't see coming, just that you had to work through, would you say?
Instagram. I do think I would say it was a lot of that. It was how to market ourselves, just overall, through social media and all of that, but also even just how do we get ourselves out there to get the donors beyond just our community? We had to expand outside of our friends, and how do we continue to do that? And I think we did a good job, and we are continuing to learn. We did things like the Morristown Festival on the Green,
which was
kind of a big step. It was huge. It was amazing.
And we
just got to connect with other people. But we had to kind of think outside of our own box a little bit. So I would say that was one of the hardest, and as we look forward to continue to grow and really find donors. Yeah.
Do you do anything with the Hunger Walk? Do they let you have like a booth for the Morristown Hunger Walk and stuff like that? I mean, that'd be...
Yeah, we didn't this year, but that's definitely
a great idea.
Like that, like events like that, especially on the weekend, it's good for kids where they can, if they only have a couple hours, they can come show up and then they get engaged and their parents get engaged. So that's another, you know, if you just kind of like glom on to other things that are going on, because they're usually pretty happy to partner and you've already got a relationship with them, right? What else was hard about getting this going?
I actually think that the hard part, we're entering it right now, because I noticed a shift right at the end of our season last year when we kind of presented to our board. And up to that point, you know, it was like, Jen and Annie rocking it out. This is amazing. Like, we could like do no wrong. Like, look at them. They're killing it. Like, wow, they're amazing. And then all of a sudden we got just big enough that, you know, the harder questions started to come. Like, what is the real measurable impact you're making?
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, like, remember, like, Ghostbusters? Like, you know, like, in the industry, they expect results. Like, now, you know, we're, like, competing for grants, right? We're getting rejection letters. Like, what do you mean, no? Like, but we're Jen and Annie. We're helping the kids. And so I think we're now kind of emerging into the next phase. Like, Annie does a lot of work with monarch butterflies and restoration in her spare time, right? And I feel like we're kind of moving into that next like phase of life where, like, yeah, we're cute and all, we did this great thing, but now in order to mature, we need to reach that next step of sophistication. We need to show results. We need to like have the right data to show, to really show like corporate donors that we will do great things with the funds that we give, that we receive, rather.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, too, it's the persistence we talked about, because mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, and this is just human nature, like, oh, I'm going to do this, and they have great plans, and they want this, and then literally, you know, a couple years go by, and they're like, okay, well, I'm on to the next thing, or I'm bored, or I want, you know, a next shiny object, or, I mean, or life changes happen, whatever, but I mean, it's the longevity and the persistency mm-hmm. and the passion that kind of keeps it going. So, I mean, you guys definitely exceed in all those areas. So is your board more, again, like friends that you've gathered to
Yeah, I mean, I would say very well thought out and chosen.
Yeah,
friends. Who bring a lot to the table.
Terry Connolly.
Who's, so people like Terry who are phenomenal and have so much experience and so many great ideas and perspectives and just offer so much to us. It's really, and then our husbands, who, you know.
Well, I mean, I also would say that just living in the Northeast period, you throw a rock and you hit, like, someone went to Princeton or Harvard or MIT or whatever. These people have experience. And the way John Wood, when he started Room to Read, he's brought all these people who they've, you know, made their mark in corporate America mm-hmm. 20, 30 years, and they want to use their skills for good in a social entrepreneurial way. And so, you know, you've got resources, so it sounds like you're good on that end. But and as good board members should, they're holding you accountable, which is what you need, right? You know, but that's exciting. You're an exciting time. So, $60 donation will fill a backpack with supplies for an eighth grader, or accept any denomination of donation, I'm sure, right? Totally. And so
anything.
Yeah, I mean, even if your child has, you know, gets $5 for their birthday and they want to give it, or donate their birthday party. So
absolutely.
Oh, some girls in our town did a lemonade stand for us.
I love that.
We didn't even know them, and I think they raised like $54.
Wow.
To us, that's a fortune.
Yes, you know, and to them, that's a fortune.
Yeah. That's a full backpack for a child. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so cool. And then matching that. Okay, that mm-hmm. is incredible. So I hope we got the word out, and we'll continue to get the word out. And I'm very grateful for you taking your time today to come share your story with us. And it's really fun.
Thank you for having us.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial Advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
It's back on the campaign trail as Democratic presidential candidates prepare for Super Tuesday. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders now leads the pack after winning a tight race over Mayor Pete in New Hampshire's primary. When it comes to winning New Hampshire in the 2020 general election, Trump 2020 campaign secretary Kayleigh McEnany tells Fox News the president has his eyes set on New Hampshire.
We lost this state narrowly by 2,700 votes. Trump picked up Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, 1.5% away from winning in Minnesota. We're going to win New Hampshire. We're going to win Minnesota.
With the nation's attention on the coronavirus, the less flashy flu season has picked up steam again, causing a large number of infections in 47 states. That's according to the latest numbers from the CDC. The latest numbers from the CDC show that flu activity in the United States remains high and widespread. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president in my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation in the world. world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL. Or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. Rootwall.com.
The case against disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein continues. With an update, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Harvey Weinstein supposedly wanted to testify at his rape and sex assault trial in New York City, but his lawyers said no to that. Now the disgraced movie mogul's defense team has rested its case. It's preparing closing arguments expected tomorrow. Weinstein's lawyers took just 3 days to call witnesses in an effort to raise doubts about his accuser's claims.
A man long suspected of exploiting and manipulating his daughter's college friends is in jail on Wednesday. 60-year-old Lawrence Ray was arrested and charged with sex trafficking, money laundering, extortion, and forced labor. Jeffrey Bierman is an attorney with the Southern District of New York.
Ray directed his victims to obtain money for him by other means, by draining their parents' savings, and worse, forced labor and prostitution.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
A former actor is facing new charges after lying to police about an alleged hate crime. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Wendy King.
A Cook County, Illinois grand jury indicted actor Jussie Smollett on 6 counts of disorderly conduct for allegedly making false reports to police about an assault last year. The indictment comes after a 6-month investigation by special prosecutors.